I'm Catherine Davis, host of Heart of Mind. So I'm going to play a little Joan Jett and the Black Hearts, something different. Well, I haven't heard that in a little bit. So you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. I do invite you to connect with me through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I'm just going to reinvent the moment with a little bit of music, a little bit of meditation and muse, and just connecting with where we are and what opportunities exist in this moment of space-time reality.
As I try to recall bliss of a glorious day. When I was sleeping, eyes wide open, dreaming wide awake. Who are you, stranger, to come here and answer all my prayers? Where are you from, angel? You saved my life and disappeared. How do I find you? Will you come when I need you? Oh, how love to be sleeping, eyes wide open, dreaming.
And that lovely song was Liz Wright, Dreaming Wide Awake. And so one of the things I wanted to bring today is just looking upon our times and what it is that we're doing in our world. And I've been wondering how expansive this world really is. By that I mean, is the reality we see in the physical realm that we can touch and taste and explore with our eyes, is that the only reality? Or do we also have a reality that's much grander than our walking consciousness? And I say walking because we're in a way just trudging through our life, walking through life, having all of these things happen to us, with us in this world. But there are times when it all seems very mundane. Just like every other animal, we have to find a way to eat and to sleep, find shelter, and, you know, eliminate the natural things of a living being on third dimensional time space. And we make much ado about that process. And historically, we have seen our societies create all kinds of hierarchies and all kinds of patterns of behavior and sort of tumbling about, trying to create levels of privilege for themselves, whatever that might be. It could be a society, it could be a country, it could be a community, it could be a particular, in our modern day thinking, corporation or organization. It could be according to race or sex or identity. We just create all these different levels of hierarchy in terms of who is either the smartest or the prettiest or the most wealthy, or on the other side, who is the least privileged, who is the dumbest, who is the ugliest. You know, we just have all of these strange ways of organizing ourselves in comparison to each other, in relationship to the mundane reality that we experience. So it all begins to look like a waste of time to me, that we are sort of fighting each other over these competitions, whether it's in sports, whether it is in school, whether it is in work. you know, climbing over each other like crabs in a barrel trying to figure out who's on top, who wins the game. And I have to wonder if we're not all still children in the context of a greater reality. This does not seem to be a mature planet. And perhaps the reason we call our planet Mother Earth is because we're all still big babies. We're just big babies looking for someone to admire us, looking for someone to uplift us, looking for someone to take care of us. So planet Earth is the Earth of big babies. And so, interestingly enough, it leads me to wonder, well, what does it really mean to be a mature being? Not a mature human being, but a mature being. So it could be anything. It could be a tree. It could be a cat. It could be a human. It could be a butterfly. It could be a bee. What is a mature being? What really makes that possible? And I actually think that the animal world and the insect world could teach us a little something if we paid attention to it. I can remember growing up and looking at animals and thinking how they all function in some form of unity. They have the same looks, more or less. They have the same traits, more or less. They have the same behaviors, more or less. And science would tell us that that is because they're of a certain species and animals are somehow less than humans, so they're governed by some kind of, I don't know what they call it, but sort of this group nature, instincts, that they follow these instincts. But maybe that's an intelligent thing to do when you think about it, because they're able to translate through their entire lineage of existence everything that was learned by their species. So if an ant 10 billion years ago learned how to burrow into the earth and build a home that was safe, the ant that's born today has that information. There's no gap in transference of information. So I'm wondering if that's what instinct really is. It's about connecting to the lineage of your species. What intelligence and what knowledge and what abilities have been cultivated and over time. Because as a species encounters a certain kind of environment, they have to learn new skill sets and adapt. And humans are really no different in that regard, except that we get in our own way through these social constructs that have put us into some level of embattlement, some level of conflict in which we're fighting over the resources of our world. And it's in that very fight over resources that we are diminishing our resources. By fighting over control of who has the oil, we're destroying entire countries and bombing people into oblivion. To decide over who has domination over the economic markets, we are starving our own population and creating crises of homelessness and strife within our own communities so that some people can stand on the top of the hill. So it leads me to wonder, well, who's actually smarter? Is it the bees and the birds and the elephants? Are they somehow more wise? Are they more innately connected to their source than we as human beings are? It seems to be the case. So what is it that human beings need to do? How do we need to repair this societal damage that has been impacted within the nature of our species as human on this planet? And that's how I'm kind of looking at it. There's a necessity to pull back from the chaos of the mundane world into that lineage which we can seek through our intuition, which we can seek through that space commonly referred to as spirituality, soul, that part of us that exists beyond the material realm and is able to connect us to that deep self that is translated from generation to generation through time. Our DNA holds on to that information, but there's a way in which our soul self, our immaterial self, the invisible self, sometimes referred to as the subconscious, but even beyond and more subtle than the subconscious is the true self, I believe. And that true self is who we are from generation to generation and from time to time. So interesting to think about. And that was Sunrise Prayer by Douglas Spotted Eagle, and one of my favorite songs. I always play my favorite songs, sometimes too much here. Anyway, as I was thinking, so part of this dilemma we face in our mundane world, our everyday world, is how to get out of it, how to escape the mundane. And it's an interesting problem a lot of people solve with addiction as a way of getting away from the boredom and suffering of our everyday experience, our everyday life, where just things just seem so pedestrian. I can remember when I was growing up, I loved science fiction, just loved science fiction, because that was my way of escaping the world in which I was living, because I could dream of traveling to the stars like they do in the movies or in, you know, the radio and TV shows about traveling. It just ignites the imagination. And so a lot of what we do here in this planet is to try to escape, finding ways to make life palatable. And so I think that's really interesting, because through my spiritual journey, actually, what I've discovered is that there is an entire world of experience in that state of deeper consciousness. And when we can get cut off from what that can manifest and what that can be for us by escaping in the external world and in escaping in various means of addiction, too much food, too much drink, too much drugs, too much anger, too much sex, all kinds of things that we get engaged in as a fetishy behavior in order to relieve the frustration and boredom of life. But what I'm suggesting is the problem is that we are not occupying the fullness of our being. So they tell us that we use, what, 2% of the brain, 10% of the brain. So whether or not you believe the brain is the source of intelligence, or perhaps, as I believe, the brain is a mechanism of that integrates our intelligence with the body. I think that our intelligence exists in these more expansive realms. And we are already star travelers in that we have moved from this arena in which we are these expansive spirit light beings. We've traveled into this humanistic mechanism we call a body to live out this very constrained life experience on a small planet in the corner of the galaxy. So I'm thinking that in order to not be bored in this existence and to be able to grasp our purpose for being here, I don't think it's just an adventure. There's more to it. So we have to remember first who we are in terms of the fullness of who we are as beings. And we have to take back that gravity, that gravitas, that nature, that intuition that was born and is part of the makeup of our species, to be able to recall our ancient past and bring forward the expansive understanding and understanding what rituals we need to perform and remembering how to communicate with nature and how to derive nutrients from the sun, perhaps not to have to eat so much, and how we can talk to our environment so that we can steer these storms and that are wreaking havoc on the world. Can we relate to nature and weather through our conscious awareness? Are we on the same level as they? And I have to wonder, is nature responding to our own failure to uphold our responsibility as part of the living network of this experience? Everyone else is holding up their responsibility. The plants grow, the birds sing, the insects fertilize, everything is working as it should in harmony, and then in troops man with big clumsy shoes stomping it all down. I think that part of what we can do going forward is begin to rebalance within ourselves that natural harmony, not rail at each other. You're polluting, you're the evil one, you're the murderer, you're the this, you're the that, and look within ourselves and say, well, how am I killing my own true nature? How am I not honoring my gift? How am I not communicating with all around me that has needs? Maybe that's why all of the space beings, such as they may be, are not communicating with us because we're not capable of communicating even with the species on our planet. Why should they waste their time with us? It's just interesting to think on these things. But since I do love science fiction, I'm going to play a little song for you that I really like. And let's see if I could find it. I first heard this song on Earthwatch with Robert Knight.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition,
1.
And may God's love
lift
be
off
with you. This is ground control to Major Tom.
Thank you.
was David Bowie, Space Oddity. So I love these kind of songs and things that take you into another space. And in this particular piece of music, he's talking about this space person going out into a spaceship and getting disconnected from Earth and just wandering through space for all time, which is interesting. But what if it were different? What if it were there was first a space entity and traveled through a capsule called the birth canal into Earth, and then lost touch with that part of itself? And here we are walking around on Earth thinking we're grown-ups, when really half of our existence is in another realm. And then you have this endless kind of connection, one trying to reach the other. Here we're on Earth feeling lost, looking for that divine soul, looking for that God in the sky, God self or ultimate God, whatever we want to look at it. But there's a way in which we're on Earth in pieces, and some of us, some part of us, is in a far greater realm, and the communication isn't there. So we're playing like children in the sandbox, killing each other and destroying our environment. That's one way of looking at it. So we have these pieces that are disconnected from each other. I actually think this is the truth of it, but I'm playing with the ideas. And so we're caught in this, not only in the Earth, but we're caught in this cycle where, because of our belief system, we keep coming back in. So we move through life, we journey into the afterlife after passing over, but we're so focused on Earth that our spirit still doesn't quite reconnect to its source. You know, maybe comes up a little bit, connects to some realm of healing, and then falls back down into Earth, into another body, for a repeat. And we go on and on and on and on and on and on. So we have a part of ourselves that is walking on Earth in these mundane little bodies, a part of ourselves that is expansive, much too big to fit in a planet, much less a body. So we're like a fragment of that self in our bodies. And then there's the part of us that is floating in space and is just spirit, disconnected from both sides. How do we reconnect? How do we connect to the spirit and the spirit to the creative force? It's an interesting problem. But I think this is the age we are living in. We are in the age of connecting, of making those connections. And I think we can do that. We can truly do that. But in order to do that, we have to connect deeply to the level of nature, to the level of our being. Oh, I don't want to play that again. It's difficult when you're dealing with computer technology and it does what it wants to do instead of what you ask it to do, which is what seems to be going on here. Let's try again. A song of spirit, a song of connection, of life and life beyond. And of course,
listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. Tis the ancestor's birth when the fire's voice is heard. Tis the ancestor's birth in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never lived. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath. When the fire's voice is heard, 'tis the ancestors' breath. In the voice of the waters, those who have died have never left. The dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the waiting child. They are with us in the home. They are with us in the crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestors' breath. When the fire's voice is heard, 'tis the ancestors' breath. In the voice of the water. Listen more often to things than to the things. Listen more often to things than to the things. Things the ancestors. When the fire's voice is heard, when the fire's voice is heard, from the voice of the waters.
Sweet honey in the rock breaths. Another one of my... I only play my favorite music, apparently. Why else would we play it? So I love this song because it takes us into that space. It isn't just that our ancestors' breath and being are in the things around us. They're also in the cells of our body and our DNA. We do have that natural passage of intuition and knowing from generation to generation. But we have to open up our awareness to the point that we can read it and feel it and be it and feel at peace with ourselves and with our earth and less of blaming. I just want to give everyone that challenge to be different, be yourself, connect to nature, commune with the natural world, with your ancestors, and with the true knowledge that is humanity's wisdom, so that we can connect to the broader self, the expanded self, and bring the fullness into our lived experience. To me, that's what life is for. And I just want to let you know that I will be doing a class on Tuesday, Qigong Healing Practices. I'm revitalizing that class. So if you want to find out more about the free, it's Tuesday at 7 on Zoom. You can join me, but you have to let me know. So send an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and I'll play a little bit of Jewel, Life Uncommon, as we move on to the next presentation.
Don't worry, Mother, it'll be all right. Don't worry, sister, say your prayers and sleep tight. And it'll be fine, lover of mine, it'll be just fine. And lend your voices home. Sounds of freedom. No longer lend your strength to that which which you wish to be free from. Fill your lives with love and bravery, and you shall lead a life uncommon. I've heard your anguish, I've heard your heart's cry. We are tired, we are weary, but we aren't worn out. Set down your chains till only faith remains. Set down your chains and lend your
Relaxation, Qigong. Preparation. Lie down flat on a bed or the floor with your head comfortably on a pillow. Place your arms at your sides, palms facing down. Stretch your legs out with your feet separated naturally apart. Stare at the ceiling. Slowly draw in your eyesight and close your eyes. First, root out your middle fingers. Relax the top of your head. Relax the sides of your head. Relax your ears. Relax the sides of your neck. Relax your shoulders. Relax your upper arms. Relax your elbows. Relax your forearms. Relax your wrists. Relax your hands. Relax your fingers. Concentrate on your middle fingers and count to 9 silently. Allow the spent chi to go out from your middle fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The second root out, your big toes. Relax the top of your head. Relax your forehead. Relax your eyebrows. Relax your upper eyelids. Relax your eyeballs. Relax your lower eyelids. Relax the bridge of your nose. Relax the end of your nose. Relax your cheeks. Relax your upper lip. Relax your teeth. Relax your tongue. Relax your jaw. Relax your lower lip. Relax your chin. Relax the front of your neck. Relax your chest. Relax your belly. Relax your lower abdomen. Relax your hips. Relax the front of your thighs. Relax your kneecaps. Relax the front of your lower legs. Relax your ankles. Relax the top of your feet. Relax your toes. Concentrate on your big toes and count to 9 silently. Allow the spent chi to go out from your big toes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9. The third root out, yang shuan, at the bottom of your feet. Relax your brain. Relax your windpipe. Relax your esophagus. Relax your tonsils. Relax your lungs. Relax your heart. Relax your stomach. Relax your liver. Relax your gallbladder. Relax your spleen. Relax your intestines. Relax your kidneys. Relax your bladder. Relax the inner part of your thighs. Relax the inner part of your knees. Relax the inner part of your lower legs. Relax the inner part of your feet. Concentrate on the bottom of your feet at Yongshuan and count to 9 silently. Allow the spent qi to go out from your Yongshuan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The fourth root out, Yongshuan, at the bottom of your feet. Relax the top of your head. Relax the back of your head. Relax the back of your neck. Relax your upper back. Relax your waist. Relax your lower back. Relax your bottom. Relax the back of your thighs. Relax the back of your knees. Relax your calves. Relax your heels. Relax the soles of your feet. Concentrate on the bottom of your feet at Yongshuan and count to 9 silently. Allow your spent qi to go out from your Yongshuan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Say the mantra silently. I am fully relaxed. All the bad qi in my body is coming out from my Yongshuan. I am fully relaxed. All the spent qi in my body is coming out from my Yongshuan. I am fully relaxed. All the diseased qi in my body is coming out from my Yongshuan. Now, you may fall asleep.
Don't worry, Mother, it'll be all right. Don't worry, Sister, say your prayers and sleep tight. It'll be fine, lover of mine.